The book of Psalms 139. Book of Psalms 139. Let's all stand in reverence to God's word. Psalm 139. I'm going to read the first 18 verses. Psalm 139. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in countenance continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you know everything about us, that you care about us, Lord, that we're the crown of your creation. Lord, we ask this morning that you would clear our thoughts, our hearts, our minds of the world. Put it all on you. Lord, if there be one that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would realize that through you is eternal life. And it's only through you that they can attain that. I ask, Lord, that you would give us discernment in your word. We thank you for that as well. Lord, I do pray for all these prayer requests that have been brought out. Some of those are sick. Some are traveling. Lord, some are here. We don't even know why they're not here. But Lord, we ask that you would be with them. Work in their lives, whatever the problems may be. Give them comfort. Ask, Lord, that you would be with this nation, the turmoil that it's in. And Lord, that it would turn its eyes to you. We do in a special way, ask that you would be with Israel today, Lord. Put a hedge of protection about her as you always have, and we thank you for that. Ask now as we bring forth this message that you've laid on my heart that you will help me, Lord, in remembrance of the things that I've studied. Give me the boldness to say what I need to. And Lord, I thank you for that. Hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It is all about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. You are valuable to the Lord. Do you realize that? Do you realize you are valuable to the Lord? We're going to look at just how valuable you are. How valuable are people to you, though? I want us to go there first. When we see people's value as a norm, most people look at folk as a norm in the way they dress. We see their value in that. Maybe the car they drive. Maybe where they were born. Maybe the music they listen to. Maybe how they act. We tend to see things in that way, and we tend to value a person. We even judge people sometimes on all of those things. And now, while some of these are important, because I'm going to be up front with you, a lot of this will keep you alive. It'll keep you out of trouble when you look at things that way. But they're not what we should judge a person's value by. Now, the Lord says that you will know them by their fruit. So when we're looking at people, when we do, there's not a person in this world that doesn't study an individual by the way they're dressed or by the way they may act, they conduct themselves, by their speech, the way they act. Like I said, maybe even by their music. And in today's world, we've got all this mess going on. All these critical race theory that they're trying to teach all our children and other junk. And that's exactly what it is. Listen, it has nothing to do with your color. It really doesn't. Now, I know that's what they'd like for you to do. But the Lord says we should, when we're judging someone, when we're placing that on them, we need to be careful what we're doing. He says in Matthew 7:17, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Not by their dress, not by the way they look, but by their fruits we'll know them. Now, I'm going to be up front with you. I haven't totally figured out exactly why the Lord laid that part of this message on my heart, but He did, so I started with that. Because, as I said, we tend to, what do you call that? What's the fancy word? Stereotype. We tend to profile people. And like I said, I think that's important. Ladies, I'll use you for an example. You're walking out of Walmart and it's 10 o'clock at night. You should be paying attention to what's around you. And you children, you should be paying attention. Something don't look right. 9 out of 10 times, it ain't right. But we can't judge that individual, but we can be sensible. But I started this out with, you are valuable to the Lord. And how does the Lord look at people? Now, the Lord tells us, He told, what's the guy's name? We talked about him last week. Samuel. He told Samuel, he said, don't look on the outside. He said, God looks on the heart. Because he was trying to choose a king, and he had went through everybody. And he's like, somebody's missing. Because the Lord ain't made a mistake. Well, they went and got David. He was a little bitty short, ruddy guy. And he was young. He wasn't like his brothers. They were, masculine and built up, and they were grown. And the Lord said, don't. Totally look. It's what's in here. And that's the way we should try to look at things. We should try to see the good in people. And we should try our best to pay attention to their fruits. Because that's important. Not everybody wears the perfect clothing. Not everybody has the perfect haircut, or they keep shaving, or they all wear their hair, these ladies, Not everybody wears the beehive. Oh, that's long gone. There's been so many styles. But how valuable is a person to the Lord? How valuable are you? A valuable of a person to the Lord. How valuable are people to the Lord? If we look at the book of John, it tells us several. We don't have to go there. But in John chapter 4, verse 4, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Now, Jews did not go to Samaria. Now, even though the Samaritans, guess what, were Jews, they had mixed with the Gentiles way back in the day when they were under captivity. And that made the Jews unhappy. And so they didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. But Jesus said, I need to go there. And it was all for a woman. And this woman, she wasn't just any woman. She'd had five husbands and was shacked up with number six. Now, what's our first thought to a person like that? We probably ought not to say it. It's like, whoa, she got problems. But the Lord felt that it was important enough for him to go there and deal with this woman. And by the way, we know the story. The woman at the well, she got saved. And she actually carried out what the song was talking about just a minute ago. She went in to Samaria and she told everybody about Jesus. Look, hey, listen, I just met a guy that's told me everything about me. He's the Messiah. And they all came to see. So he went there for a purpose, but it was because she was lost. She was a lost sinner. And that's what he said. He said when he came here, he said, I came to seek and to save the lost. That was what he was supposed to be doing. It didn't matter to him about a person. We tend to, like I said, look at people in the wrong direction. I will tell you, yes, you got to be wise. God give you common sense. Use it. But don't judge that person by that. You use your intellect. That's the word. That's good. Use your intellect. Some of us have got more than others. And, you know, we got to be careful what we're doing, especially ladies, especially children. But nonetheless, we need to value the soul of that individual. If they don't look right to you, there's a big chance they ain't. Because God gives us that common sense. But we need to love what's in here, not what they look like. Listen, I've hung around with some people that, well, look at me. We got to be careful there. Jesus also talked to a Pharisee. John chapter 3. There was a guy named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. Now, Jesus didn't have to talk to him. Jesus knew the Pharisees hated him. They did not like him. Matter of fact, they were planning on killing him. He didn't have to meet with that Pharisee, but he did. And guess what? Nicodemus got saved. You know, we had a guy come in here Friday, wasn't it? All of a sudden, there's a guy walking around. I'm in here. There's a guy walking around out here, and the ladies here at school, they're like, whoa, they did something wrong. They come to get me. They're very smart by what they're doing. But... And he looked kind of rough, but he's a construction worker. He's supposed to. He was working on a home back here. And I knew they were back there because I'd been outside and there was like 10 of them. He needed to borrow our facilities. But they were smart, but they weren't ugly to the man. They let the man in, and when I come in, I'm like, And of course, I recognized that he was one of the workers anyway. They were treating him the right way, but they were being cautious at the same time. I believe the Lord was being cautious. Of course, Jesus didn't have to. He just mentioned his name and a bunch of them fell down in John chapter... I don't forgot what chapter now. It was when they come to get him to arrest him, 20 or 19. But I believe it's an example. I believe the Lord was very careful with who he dealt with. And it was for an example with us. He met with Nicodemus at nighttime because Nicodemus said, I don't need to go down there in the daytime. I'll get in big trouble. So Jesus met with him. He was willing to meet with him. He treated him with kindness. And guess what? Nicodemus got saved. Lepers. Jesus met with lepers. Sick folk. Leprosy was not something you wanted. It started rotting your fingers off and the nose off and your ears off. It was bad stuff. In Luke 17, 11 through 19, he tells of 10 lepers. By the way, they were Samaritans, all but one. And they're hollering, no doubt, unclean! Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on us. They wanted to be healed. Oh, he healed them. He said, go show yourself to the priest. One came back. One. And in verse 19, he says, this stranger. You know why he called him a stranger? Because he was a Gentile. He wasn't a Samaritan. You see, when you look that word up in the Greek, it'll let you know that it wasn't a Jew. It was anything other than a Jew. He was hanging out with the nine Jews. Yet they were Samaritans, but they were Jew. And Jesus made it a point to say, look at this guy. Look at, he came back. Wasn't there 10 of you? And only one of you come back? Guess what? You're more spiritual than the nine Jews that never showed back up. You see, that's another thing we need to remember. Just because a person says they're religious don't mean nothing. By the way, they all got healed. Only one's going to be in heaven that we know of. He got saved. That was that Gentile that came back. The one that came back. Because in verse 19, the Lord says, you're made whole. And it wasn't just talking about you ain't got leprosy no more. Because of what he did, he came to Jesus. He even touched one. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. He even touched a leper. You ever see some? Here, I'll give you a good example. I got what they call psoriasis all over my hands. And if I don't keep this stuff that I use, which gives me an attitude, you can ask my wife. It scales up and they nasty looking and they crack and they bleed and I had to wear gloves. I went to the doctor one time, seriously. She was a skin doctor. And she comes in there and she goes, ooh. And I'm like, you're a doctor. Put some gloves on and look at it, you know. She was scared to touch it. Listen, Jesus touched a leper and healed him. He cared for that guy. You see, the Jewish people hated the Romans. But guess what? Matthew chapter 8, there was a centurion, a Roman officer, came to Jesus and said, Jesus, will you help me? My servant's sick. And he's dying, will you help me? And Jesus said, well, yeah, I'll come show me where it is. No, 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 no. You don't need to. You just say the word. But the point is, listen, Jesus communicated with that guy. See, we're careful about, we see somebody when we're walking along and it's like, ooh, I don't want to go there. Why? Because they might smell. He touched somebody that had leprosy. Why? Because they don't fit what we think is right. He was a Roman soldier. They hated Roman soldiers. Them guys were cruel. They had the cruelest punishment that's ever come about. It's called crucifixion. And by the way, Jesus knew where he was headed. But yet he was still nice to him. Why? If you read on in chapter 8, he even healed a mother-in-law. Can you imagine healing a mother-in-law was Peter's. Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus went and healed him, healed her. That's amazing. I had to throw that in there. He even dealt in that same chapter. He dealt with, listen, I got to correct something in case my mother-in-law's listening. I've got a good mother-in-law. She's always been a sweetheart to me. Now, she has chewed me out when I needed it. A few times when I didn't. But anyway, she's been a good mother-in-law to me. She's a sweetheart. But in that same chapter, he even went to two crazy folk. They were demon-possessed. You ever been around a demon-possessed individual? I have. And that gives you weird feelings. And they are the crazy. He went to them and healed them. He cast the demons out of them. If you read the story, it's pretty funny because he threw it all in a... the demon said, we need to go somewhere. He put them in the hogs, and the hog was smart enough to go drown herself. That tells you about humans. But anyway, I won't get into that one. That's a whole other message. Jesus cared enough about them that he dealt with these people. He was willing to communicate with them. We need to, in this world, be willing to communicate with people. Amen. Well, I got, well, somebody agrees. We honestly do. Listen, when I was a teenager, one of the biggest problems I had with church, they didn't like, well, I wore back then, 70s. They didn't like big bell Levi's. They just didn't see that. That's rebellious. Yes. And they didn't like Levi jackets. That was rebellious. I like Levi jackets. Roll a sleeve up, a hair on them, you know, they look cool. And my dingo boots, but they didn't like beards and they didn't like long hair, and they would let you know that. Oh, you're a sinner? Well, yeah, so are you. But I got turned away from people because of that. I'm like, all this hair, that's a sign of rebellion. And I had lots of it back then. And it was a sign of rebellion. That's wrong. Listen, I told him in Sunday school, I said, we got to let the Lord change them from in here. Amen. If we can change them all we want, then what good's it going to do? It's not going to do a bit of good. It's a waste of time. You got to let the Lord change them from there. We have to see it the way the Lord sees people. We have to value those people. Because they've got a root problem is the reason they are the way they are. I saw a guy the other day, and I'm going to say what I thought. He's got these things in his ears, and I'm serious. The biggest ones I've ever seen. They're about that big. And they were conked out because they couldn't hang down. I mean, they were sticking, and I thought, what an idiot. Why would you do that? Do you know I watched him bow his head and pray before he ate? And I'm like, That was the wrong way to look at him. Now, I will say there's something wrong. I don't know why you would want to stretch your earlobes like that. That don't make sense to me. But we have to see these people in the way the Lord saw them. How does the Lord see you? How valuable are you to the Lord? Well, first off, he has accepted. Go to the book of Ephesians, because I've been reading a lot in Ephesians. You know that. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. First off, he values us enough that guess what? We got spiritual blessings. How many of you got a loved one that you know is in heaven? There's a spiritual blessing, amen. What a blessing that is to know that somebody that has passed on before you is waiting for you. Amen. Hey. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame for him, before him in love. having predestined, oh, be careful, us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. By the way, whenever we get saved, we're going to have all of this. It's not a predestination. Hannah got saved and Linda is dying and going to hell. Ain't nothing she can do about it. I'm sorry. That ain't in the Bible. It says, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not this side of the church can go to heaven and this side ain't. You got a bad check. Ain't nothing you do. No, that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in verse 6, he has accepted us already. How many of you been to heaven? Good. That means you ain't been smoking something. You ain't been to heaven yet, but you've already been accepted there by God. You've already been, look what how valuable you are, that when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, he's already accepted that you're going to be there. Oh, that's pretty valuable. He redeemed us. Verse 7. Where was that? Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You know, it means to purchase something and set it free by paying a price. There were about 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. And they sold them and auctioned them off like pieces of furniture. But do you realize that a slave owner could go in and purchase that slave, and then they had a choice, they could set them free. I paid the price. Listen, that's what Jesus done for you. Yes. He redeemed us because, listen, we were in bad shape. And he redeemed us with stuff that's more precious than gold and silver and all that. He redeemed us with his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. So really this means that we're free from the law, which we were never under the law, but a Jew could be saved. They're free from the law. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. Don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Don't ever let someone tell you that you have to dress a certain way to be saved. You have to go with the Sabbath days to be saved. You've got to eat this and you can't eat that. It ain't nothing to do with that. It's all Jesus purchased us with his own blood. I don't wear a suit because I have to. Now, I call this a suit. My wife does not. She said you have to have the slacks to make a full-fledged suit. I think it's a suit. I don't wear this because I have to. I don't pay tithe because I have to. And nobody's forcing me to do that. I do that because I want to, because of what Christ did for me. He paid the price. I should want to give him the best. You see, we're free from the slavery and the wages of sin, which is what? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ. He redeemed us. You see, he said, it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1, 14, and I'm going to add this. If you don't have a King James, it probably doesn't say what it's saying here. In whom we have redemption through his blood. They took that out for whatever reason. That was stupid. Even the forgiveness of sins. Listen, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus Christ shed his blood. He paid the price for us so that we did not have to die and go to hell. Amen. He covered that for us through his blood. Now, I got to say it because I've been on it here lately. If you got an NIV, It doesn't say that. It don't say blood. It says, if they leave that part out, he forgives you of your sins. By what? Now, I'm churched, so I know that Jesus hung on the cross and shed his blood for me. But if a person ain't churched and they pick up an NASB or an NIV or some of this other garbage and it don't say that, they don't realize that the blood of Jesus is what saves us. And they'll fall for a nut that I heard. I heard it with my own ears. Said that during the 3 days Jesus was dead, that he went down into the pits of hell and burned and suffered for my sins. No, he did not. He didn't. He shed his blood for my sin. It had nothing to do with that, with the fires in hell. It was his blood that covered my sin. And guess what? Whenever God looked down there, he looked down there and he couldn't look on me because I had sin. But whenever Jesus shed his blood for me and I trusted the Lord, it's just like he put these on and he sees a righteous Jim Smith. All because of the blood of Jesus Christ. See, without the blood of Jesus Christ, listen, you're as filthy rags. And those filthy rags, by the way, if you look that up, where Isaiah was talking about, he's talking about the old pus and the nastiness that comes out of the leprosy on a person. He said, your righteousness is no better than that. Oh, but through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God sees me as I'm righteous. I'm accepted. He valued me that much. He has revealed God's will to me. Did you know that? Did you know that the Lord values his children so much that he's revealed his will to each one of us. Now, whether or not we take it and use it, hard to say. What's his will? Second Peter 3:9. He said, I would that all men come to know Jesus. Not just some, but all men would get saved. All women, all children would get saved. He's revealed that will to us. But not only that, if you're reading in Ephesians verses 8 through 10, he says, wherein hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery. Ooh. The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I read one extra verse, but guess what? That mystery, it ain't some eerie thing. Amen. It's not some kind of magical thing that the Bible's got hid. The mystery is the church. Amen. He revealed it through Paul. Really, Paul is the one that really pushed the church. Paul's the one that really spread out and went around starting little missions all over the place. And it's the church is what he was talking about. And in the church, we're all one. Listen, in the church, there are no Mexicans. There are no Guatemalans. No, you're not Guatemalan. Guamites. There are no Filipinos. There are no, tell me what are you, West Virginians. There ain't none, and Brother Louis, bless his heart, either West Virginia. There is nobody south of the Mason-Dixon line. He doesn't see it. I'm white and that one's brown and she's got Indian in there. And he don't see all of that.
Amen.
When we're all in the church, that's a mystery. They all came together, the Jews and the Gentiles became one in Christ.
Amen.
Oh, what a blessing that was, because now it had nothing to do with, well, I'm from south of the Mason-Dixon line, which makes me a white supremacist. No. Jesus said, I'm a lost sinner dying and going to hell without him. But his blood washed and cleansed me. You see, we became part of that church. We are that mystery. And to be part of the Lord's church, by the way, is awesome and rewarding. The Bible tells me that. Man, you can study this and to be part of what the Lord Jesus started on the seashores of Galilee and what the apostles kept going. And then in Acts, it talks about they kept teaching and preaching what Jesus had told them. And Paul went out and Barnabas and then Silas. And they went all over Galatia and all of these other places. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved from Philip, who was a deacon. And guess what? The Ethiopian eunuch took it back to Ethiopia. And do you know there's churches over there today that still trace it back to those guys? That's amazing. And you can be a part of that. Now the last thing, and I'm going to hush. He's made us an inheritance. Verse 11 and 12 of Ephesians 1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. By the way, when you get saved, we're created in Christ Jesus. We become a new creature. And this is where we're heading. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. You see, when you wonder how valuable you are, sometimes I get up and I don't feel very valuable. I got parts and pieces that don't work like it ought to. And when I walk across the living room, sometimes I get this pop, pop, and I'm like, oh, that ain't good. I got this one up in here in my groin. It's right in there about where your hip and your pelvic and all that join, and it's probably from riding too many horses or hitting the ground too much. And if I sit too long, sometimes I get up and I go to walk, and it's like, that's not good. I don't always feel real valuable. I got screws and metal and wires and junk and I got a fake tooth in here. Some of them ain't even there no more. And you know, I don't always, but when I think about how valuable I am to God, I'm valuable to God. And that's not bragging. I am. I'm valuable to God because, you see, you think of the price that God paid to purchase us and to give us that inheritance. When you really think about that, you realize how valuable you are. What should we be doing for him? Well, be spreading the good news. Amen. The good news. What's the good news? The gospel. What Jesus has done for us and how valuable a person is, no matter what they look like. They're valuable to God. We ought to be letting them know that. What should we do to thank him? We ought to be faithful to him. I ain't got to go into all that. You've got a Bible. It tells you how to be faithful to the Lord. You are here this morning. What should others see and hear in us? Murmuring, well, now the pastor wants me to do this. Well, the pastor come in here and told me how I've been living is wrong. He's judging me. No, I ain't. I just read it to you. I'm inspecting fruit. Listen, we ought not to get mad at a person that comes to us and says, you know, you probably ought not to be going down that route. Don't judge me. You know what? I hate that word. And I hear it more now than I ever have. You're judging me. I ain't judging you. Your head's on fire. Don't you want some water on it? You know, it's like, I mean, if your parachute's half undone and you're going to jump out of the plane, you ought to be able to say, your parachute ain't quite right. Don't judge me. Jump. That's what you want to say. But really, that we care that we let people know if you lay out of church, it's not good. Because you start going, listen, the devil plays the games with that.
Amen. He knows all about that stuff. You spend too much time on these stupid electronic devices. Satan works in all that mess. That was his realm, material thing. Study it. Lucifer wasn't a dummy.
That's right.
He's stupid, but he wasn't a dummy. He plays it. Nobody's judging. Should people hear us murmuring and complaining? Not really. You kids that are in the school here, murmuring and complaining. People ought not to hear you say, well, I got to read it. It's for your own good. Listen, if I tell you the answers to your language questions, you best go talk to Sister Sandy. Otherwise, you're going to fail it. Because I think Mo Better is a proper English. And even more gooder. And Sandy said more gooder last night. And Kehlani says, more gooder? Caught her, didn't you? They shouldn't hear murmur. Really, we should be doing the best that we can.
Yes.
We should be speaking the best we can.
Amen.
We should be acting the best we can. Amen? Think, I'm going to say this again. Think of, when you think about how valuable you are to God, think of the price God paid to purchase you and make you a part of the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave His Son's blood. He gave His Son's life for you. I'd say, in God's eyes, we're pretty valuable. And so are the rest of these people out here in this world. They're valuable. And as Paul said, I plant a seed, Apollos waters. God will give the increase. That's, you know, for many years of my ministry, it irritated me. Because I'm like, I preach the gospel. What is wrong with folks? Why don't they get it? Why ain't more people getting saved? Why isn't more church members getting more on fire for the Lord? And it irritated me and I lost sleep over it. And then one day the Lord said, listen, you plant the seed, you keep watering it, I'll do the increasing. Because if I did the increasing, I'd just make a mess of it. That's the truth. You heard about my garden, didn't you? I made a mess of it. I planted and watered, but I wanted it to increase, and it didn't. Nah. We plant the seed, we water, and God will give the increase. And we need to leave it in His hands. And everyone out there, God knows that we need to be careful, but we still need to be planting seeds and watering, and then praying to the Father for the increase.